Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Good to be with you today. Appreciate the prayers on my father's behalf. Hopeful that he can be out of the hospital soon. And Brother Ashley's prayer this morning, he mentioned the impact that a godly man can have on people. That certainly is true. And in Acts chapter 9, we read about the impact of a godly woman, as Ethan read for us this morning about Dorcas and the impact that she had on others. You know, when we look at the book of Acts, there are several different cases where Christians died. Of course, Acts chapter 7, verse 58, we read about Stephen. It says that they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man named Saul. Stephen was an evangelist and a member of the Jerusalem church. He was taken out and stoned. We're not told a whole lot about the reaction to that, but certainly that's a well-known martyr. In Acts chapter 12, another martyr, James, who was an apostle, was executed. And these two men, great workers in the church, died. And we're not told a whole lot about the reaction, again, to their death. But Tabitha, or Dorcas, we read about in Acts chapter 9, is very interesting because we do read about the reaction that people had to her death. And her loss was so great that we, as Ethan read for us this morning, that she was raised from the dead. That when it was brought to Peter's attention, the things that she had done, is clearly she was someone that was quite special to many people. And Peter raised her from the dead. We need people like Dorcas. And we need to strive to be a disciple like she was. So this morning I want to talk about what it was that set her apart. First of all, we see in Acts chapter 9 that Dorcas was abounding in deeds of kindness and charity. Your translation may say that she was abounding in good works. Other translations, some of the newer translations, say that she was full of good works. Let's read just again what Ethan read for us this morning, a few verses of that, starting in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. The term that is translated full or is translated abounding, in according to Strong's Enhanced Lexicon, it means replete or covered over. She was covered over in serving others. That means that was something that she was dedicated to doing. And she continually did those things. Not only did she do it once, but it's something that was a habit with her. So I think that's where we can see that she was replete or she was covered over with good works. And we must be that way. Service and serving others was a habit for her. It was something that she did continually, and that's something that we need to do as well. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. So Paul tells us that we must not lose heart in doing good, but take the opportunities that we have to do that. And that's what we see that Dorcas did. She had a reputation for doing that, as you see the reaction that people had to her death. And as we see here in Galatians chapter 6, Paul tells us to do good to all, especially to those who are our brethren. And certainly she was a disciple who did that very thing. And as Ashley prayed this morning, those that are ill, like my father and others, that they have problems in their life. When you have those kind of situations, you start to see what
what that person has meant to other people as others have a reaction to what they did. And send emails and cards and those kind of things, and you start to see what kind of influence people have. And certainly Dorcas was one that when she died, she had a great influence because of the way that people reacted to her death. Why is that? Because she sacrificed. She sacrificed for others. She sacrificed her time, of course. When those widows came to Peter and showed Peter the garments and the tunics that Dorcas had made, who do you think paid for that? I imagine that Dorcas paid for those things herself. If those were her good deeds that she did continually, then that was her money and it was her time that she took to do those things, to make those garments. So she's sacrificing her time and her means to help others. Dorcas was one that sacrificed for others. And too often, we don't do that. We think about how we might like to serve others. Or we think, well, if I just had more, if I just had more time, or if I just had more money, then I would sacrifice and I would do things for others. Or we might even picture another time in our life that when I get out of school, then maybe I can be of service to others. Or maybe when I get out on my own, or after I'm married, or after my marriage settles in a little bit, or after the kids are out of the house, or the kids are finished with college, or when I retire, then I'll have time to serve others. One of the things that I was impressed with last week with my dad in the hospital, even though he was under sedation, so I don't know how much to believe of what he said at the time, but he was talking about retiring. He has never talked about retiring from preaching, but as he lay there in bed, he said, well, the church is going to need somebody else. And he was talking about retiring when he got back to Killen. But he said, well, I'm thinking about putting up a tent there next to the church building, because they've got some land there and I've got all these tracts and things that I've written, and you can print them for me at EBSCO. He said, I can still be of use. I can still do some things. And even though he was on painkiller, I was just impressed that he's in this condition, yet he's trying to think about how he can be useful in the kingdom of God. And so many people wait for some other time that, well, I'm going to be useful when I reach this point or when I reach that point. We need to be useful now. You don't need to wait to grow up or to get out of school or for your marriage to be this or that, or to retire from your job. Dorcas, I don't know how much money she had. I don't know if she spent her time thinking about what she would do if she had more. But she figured out to do something with what she had. She used the money that she had to serve others. Somebody once said that if it's not what you would do if a million were your lot, it's what you are doing with the dollar and quarter you've got. And I think that's a pretty good phrase, although corny. What you would do if a million were your lot, it's what you are doing with the dollar and quarter you've got. The fact is that Dorcas had the same amount of time that we do. Back in Dorcas's day, there were still 24 hours in a day, just like they are now. And she made some choices about how she was going to spend her time. She made some choices about how she was going to spend her money. And she used part of her time and her money to serve others and make things for others. That means that we may have to sacrifice. We may not get the widescreen television we wanted. Because when we make a choice to sacrifice and serve others, there's just a limited amount of resources that we have, isn't there? It's going to take something away from somewhere else. Maybe your kids won't get to do everything that they want to do, or you won't get to take all the vacations that that you want to plant. Or you might miss out on some things that you want to buy or do. But that's what sacrifice is. Parents sacrifice for their kids. Their kids really don't understand that, you know, when they're small. But someday you realize that. I realize now how my parents sacrificed for us as we were growing up. You know, if they didn't have us, there were a lot of things they could have bought for themselves. There were a lot of things they could have done for themselves. But they paid for our band instruments. They paid for our clothes. They did a lot of things for us to make things special for us. They sacrificed. And Dorcas is one that sacrificed not for her family, but for her spiritual family. And we need to have that kind of attitude. Another thing that we can note is that Dorcas didn't do everything, but she did what she could. What we read about Dorcas here in Acts chapter 9, we only read about one activity. And maybe she did more. I'm sure she probably did. But she seemed to excel in this one area because people, what did they do? They brought the clothes to Peter. Look what she's done for us. Look what she made for us with her own hands. She made clothes. She didn't do everything, but she did what she could. And do sometimes people get overwhelmed with all that needs to be done? They see there's so much that needs to be done. And when we realize that we can't do it all, we don't do anything. Or we look at others who can do things that I can't do. Look what she can do. Or look what he can do better than I can. Or look at the amount of things, look at the resources that they have. They can do so much more than I can. And because we can't do what somebody else can, then we decide, well, I'm not that important at all, and don't do anything. This certainly does remind me of the one talent man in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. One he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. And you know the rest of the story, how when the master came back, the one who had 5 gained 5 more, the one who had 2 gained 2 more, and the one who had 1 didn't do anything. He did not do anything with what had been given to him. And was it pleasing to the Lord? Certainly not. Those that were pleasing, he said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But, verse 24, he who received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. And look, you have what is yours." And the answer to him was that he was wicked and lazy because he did not use the little bit that he was given. He should have at least put it in the bank and had it gain interest. So maybe he couldn't do much with what he had. And in fear he does nothing, but the master says that's not acceptable. I may not be able to do what everybody else can do. Dorcas may not have been able to do what everybody else could do, but she did what she could. The fact is that it doesn't matter who you are, you can do something. We can all do something. What can you do? Can you cook? Can you clean? Can you fix clothes? Can you make clothes? Can you cut grass? Can you babysit? Can you visit the sick? Can you write letters of encouragement? Can you make phone calls? Can you teach Bible classes? Can you conduct home studies? Can you have people in your home? Can you fix things? Can you fix cars? Can you build things? Can you do handyman repairs? Can you pray with people? Can you hold others accountable to God's Word? Can you help others grow spiritually? Certainly, in that list, we hit on something that I can do. There may be many things there that you can do. The question is am I doing it? What am I doing to try to be a servant to others like Dorcas? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter admonishes us and says that each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What you have been given, you are to be a good steward of that. Use it to God's glory. Use it to serve others and be a disciple like Dorcas. Dorcas was continually doing good works. Don't miss that point either as we read. It was not a stop and start kind of thing. It wasn't that she saved her good deeds for one day or any particular day. It was a consistency in her life. And people were devoted to her because of what she had done over time. Another point we need to realize is Dorcas did not serve everyone, but she served those that she could. When Peter arrived in Lydda and was brought to the room where Dorcas lay dead, you notice that he was not greeted by every disciple in the church. He was greeted by the widows, the ones that Dorcas had served. And I'm not saying Dorcas didn't ever do anything for anybody else. I don't know. But Dorcas seemed to be focusing on this one group that she could help, the widows. She served those that she could. And too often, people get paralyzed into inaction when they see the broad view of everybody, all the people that need to be helped, and maybe get paralyzed into doing nothing. Everybody's heard of Mother Teresa and her theology was wrong. But her attitude toward service was something that was admirable. She's reported to have said something along these lines, "I can't do everything, but I can do something. I cannot help everyone, but I can help someone." That's very logical. We can do that, can't we? I can't help everyone. I can't do everything. I'm not going to get overwhelmed, though. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to help who I can. I can help someone. Who can you help? Dorcas helped the widows. It's very obvious that she did that. She focused on them and helped them. Is there a group that you can help? The widows, the elderly, the young parents, the young married people, whoever it may be. She focused on them. Maybe she was a widow too. There's no mention of her family or her husband. But she knew of the great needs for the widows and was helping take care of them and had a desire to do that. I can't do everything, but I can do something. If you remember in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35, we see that the Samaritan focused on the one he came in contact with. The Samaritan didn't help everybody, but he helped the one with whom he came in contact. We can do that. We can help those with whom we come in contact, with our brethren especially. Another thing that we need to realize is we don't have to wait to be asked to do something. You know, I know we have good intentions when we tell somebody, if there's anything that I can do for you, please let me know. But we don't often get that call, do we, from those that we say that to? You know, well, actually, there is something that I need. But there are so many times that people will do something that needs to be done simply because they see that it needs to be done. And that is so appreciated by those that need help but don't ask for it. Dorcas does not seem to be one that would wait to be asked. But she did what she could, when she could, for whoever she could. And religious groups today look for ways to reach out to communities. They look at demographics. They want to look at all the different kinds of things. But when you talk about reaching out to the world, you see the real simple gospel being spread here by one who's kind and compassionate and does things for others. And that's really how evangelism works, is each one teaching one. It works most effectively that way. I think that's a real important lesson that we can learn in this text. That, you know, was Dorcas a tool of the Joppa Church of Christ garment-making ministry? No, it says that she was full of good works. That she wasn't part of something organized by the church. This was her work. The headquarters was in her home. This was her work. The oversight was her own. Now, caring for widows is a legitimate work of the church. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 reminds us of that. Let's read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we would leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So here the brethren came to the apostles saying that the Hellenistic widows were not being taken care of. And what did the apostles say? They said, we can't deal with that right now. Our hands are already full with other work. Find other men in the congregation to take care of this. So we need to realize that when we see something that needs to be done, sometimes, as we see here in Acts chapter 6, there's people are saying, well, somebody needs to do something about this. We need to do something. Somebody needs to do something. In congregations that have elders, many times people will say, well, let's take it to the elders. They need to head up some kind of work to accomplish these things. And maybe they're tied up with other things. Maybe they're involved with some spiritual matters, just like the apostle said here in Acts chapter 6. Why did they get that kind of reply in Acts chapter 6? Because they can't do everything. The elders, the apostles, are the same as Dorcas. They can't do everything, so they assigned it to somebody else to take care of. So, when we see something that needs to be done, what do we do? Do we wait for somebody else to do something? Do we complain that nothing's being done? Or do we start doing it? Why not me if I see something that needs to be done? Why not you? Why don't I stop waiting for others and start being like Dorcas? We would be much better off. And you know what happens when we do things for others? We stop focusing on ourselves. And we receive something in return when we do for others as well. We must serve, doing what we can, when we can, for whomever we can, if we want to be like Dorcas. You know, she didn't do it to draw attention to herself. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 reminds us that the things that we do are not designed to call attention to ourselves, but to glorify God. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus said it very clearly that our lives are to be full of good works. And by doing that, other people will glorify God. Isn't that exactly what happened in the life of Dorcas? We don't do good things in order to get a pat on the back, or we shouldn't, or to show off about how good we are. But God does expect us to do good, and that when we do it, it will be a light, and it will have a positive impact. Here in Acts chapter 9, Peter does a great miracle. But you know, the real power in the story comes from this simple woman who devoted herself to doing good. That lesson is very simple. You know, whether or not Peter chose to have her be risen from the dead, that point doesn't matter. I mean, what a wonderful thing that she was. But even if she hadn't been raised from the dead, the impact of what she had done would still be the same. She had devoted herself to doing good, and everybody knew that. We don't need the greatest preacher in the brotherhood to convince our neighbors. We don't need a miracle. What we need is exactly what she did. It's right there before us. If we do good things for people like Dorcas did, it will help. It will help the church grow. And it will help us be what we ought to be. When we look at the work of the church in the first century, we see that the greatest amount of work was done by hard-working, devoted disciples who didn't wait to be asked, but they looked for ways that they could use their abilities to serve others and to serve God. And we need to look at examples like this and ask ourselves, are we being a disciple like Dorcas? Are we doing what we can to serve others and looking for opportunities to do that? I hope this lesson is useful to you. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anybody. We get wrapped up in our lives, in our concerns, and we forget that we need to be of service. Let's not do that. Let's make sure that we live in such a way that if it were us that died, that our friends would grieve because of the things that we tried to do for them. And what a wonderful testimony to the way that she lived when Peter was brought there and they came and showed Peter the things that she had done. It was an admirable way in which she lived. Let's try to emulate that, as that's why this example was given to us. If in any way you're subject to the gospel invitation today, you're desirous of becoming a Christian, you realize that you are totally lost without recognizing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we come in contact with that sacrifice that He made through baptism, if in any way we can help you be obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.